here this morning. We are so glad that you are here as well, part of this series, Go Tell the World. Amen. So that's been the message of this series so far. And we hope that you would take this commission very seriously because the Lord commands us to do so. The Lord said, go therefore into all the world, baptizing them, making disciples of all the nations, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you to the end of the age. And so it was a commandment that Jesus gave his disciples. And so if you have your Bibles this morning, we'd like for you to open up to the book of Luke, chapter 10, verse 1 through 20. It's going to be our text today. Now, right before this passage in chapter 9, we find that Jesus launches or sends out the 12 disciples. And so the apostles, the ones who radically set up the church, he sends them out to heal and to bring forth the word of God. And they came back rejoicing in everything else. But then in chapter 10, we find that he sends out the 70. And what this tells me is that there's more to it than just a spiritual leadership of the house that is responsible for the mission of evangelism. If he had just sent out the 12, then you might think, oh, well, that's up to our leaders. That's up to our spiritual leaders to go and tell the world. But when he sends out the 70 ordinary people, just like you and I, and he sends them out and he says, go into the world. And he sends them out two by two. It kind of lets you know, well, maybe this commission is not just for leadership. Maybe it's for me as well. And I would like to say, yes, it is for you as well. It is for me. It is for you. And we are to evangelize and keep this message of the gospel going. Now, I must say, there is a discrepancy between the ESV, the NLT, the KJV. You might see, if you have an ESV and an NLT, you might see that he sent out 72 people. If you have a King James Version, you might see that he sent out 70 people. So there's a little discrepancy, but no big deal. He sent out at least 70 people two by two into the field. So I just wanted to kind of let you know. So if you're reading in your Bible and you say, oh, wait, it says 72 in my Bible, it's fine. It's no big deal. We're going to go with 70 for the sake of discussion today. We're in verse 1. And where it says this, it says, after this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them one ahead of him, two by two, into every town and place where he himself was about to go. And he said to them, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out the laborers into his harvest. Now, one of the very first things, if I'm going to teach you how to evangelize, the first thing I'm going to teach you is to pray, because prayer is so important. If you have a certain someone on your mind that the Lord has placed in your heart, I want you and I challenge you today to begin to pray for them, begin to even fast for them, and believe God for them, that God would begin to harden, to break the hardness of their heart, so that they can receive the message of the gospel. I remember there was a time in my life I went to a church called the Freedom Center. It was right by Waterland, USA. You guys know where that's at. And so we were there, and we had this group from Brownsville School of Ministry. And during that time, there was this big revival going on at Brownsville, and they were so evangelistic, and they came to teach us how to evangelize. And so we actually went out into the streets, and we would talk to people about Jesus. But before we did that, the very first thing that they stressed is that we're going to pray for an hour before we even go out. And that lesson has been instilled in me, just knowing the value of praying for that person, because prayer is powerful. Prayer is a tool that, you know, oftentimes we throw in that toolbox and we forget that we have. But when we find ourselves in a bind, we're like, oh, yeah, I remember I got this tool called prayer that I can take out of my toolbox. You have to use your tool, this prayer, as a weapon each and every day. Whenever you rise, you begin to pray to the Lord and you spend time with him. So Jesus instructs them to pray for the laborers. Pray, I would say even pray for the person that you are planning to reach out to. Pray for that divine appointment. You know, if you ask God for a divine appointment, he's going to give it to you. If you ask God for an opportunity to speak something of value into that person's life, He will give you that opportunity. But we have not because we ask not. And so I challenge you again this morning to begin to ask the Lord that you, Lord, would you give me a divine appointment with so-and-so? Would you help me? Would you give me the words to say? And here's the thing about evangelism. I don't want you to be scared of the word evangelism. I think we complicate it and make it into something that it should not be. It's basically having a conversation with someone and telling them about Jesus. Amen? We don't want to overcomplicate this. In fact, in Romans 8:26, you know, whenever we find that we don't necessarily have the words to say, the Holy Spirit that lives within us gives us the words to say. Amen? And so there have been times when I'm talking with someone, you know, about the Lord, and I step back afterwards, after the conversation, and I'm like, who was that? Because that was not me, you know? That was the Holy Spirit speaking through me. Amen? And so I believe the same thing is with you. And so he will give you the words to say, and he will give you the heart to say it with, but you need to open your mouth. Amen? And so it's a step of faith that you must take in opening your mouth. You know, I used to believe that, you know, if I just live by example, then that would be good enough. That's important, but how many of you guys know that faith comes by hearing and hearing of the word of God? Amen? So yes, you must live righteously, you must live by example, but you must open your mouth. Amen? I know I'm jumping ahead of myself, but the first step one is we're going to pray for a certain person. Maybe it's a loved one, maybe it's a family member that you know, if they were to die today, heaven would not be their home. And you know this. You know this by their lifestyle. And you know that, you know, if they were to slip off into eternity, that you would not see them on the other side. And so that should burden you. That should burden your heart for them. That's your assignment. Tara talked about last week your assignment and knowing your assignment. And I wanted to kind of reemphasize that again today. Knowing who it is that God has called you to. And zoning in on that person and really begin to pray for them and really begin to seek God for them, that is your assignment. You know, God has placed you in that neighborhood for a reason. God has placed you in that school, young people, for a reason. You are on the workplace, on that particular job, for a reason. And yes, it may be partially to make money, to provide for your family, but ultimately is to impact those around you for the kingdom of God. Amen. It's about winning souls. It's about being the light in the midst of darkness. It's about being the salt that preserves the earth. So in verse 3, he continues, Jesus begins to tell the 70, he says, go your way. Behold, I am sending you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. Lambs as in the midst of wolves. How many of you guys know that wolves eat lambs? That doesn't sound like a good thing. Like, Lord, you're wanting me to be devoured? What is this? What is this you have called me to? But before we talk about that, I want to really zone in on the words, go your way. And as we mentioned, you have a different assignment. You have a different way. And your way is going to look different than my way. Go your way. Go into your field. Impact the people around you. You know, you have a testimony that you are able to impact those around you that I am not able to reach. You can speak to them in such a way that I cannot relate to. You have dealt with things in your life that I have not dealt with. And you are able to communicate to them and relate to them on a more personal level than what I am able to from the pulpit. And so go your way, share your testimony, go to your neighbors, go to your coworkers, go to your boss even. Hey, let's be bold, right? Go your way. So then let's look at that last part where he says he's sending you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. This kind of tells you that, hey, look, you might inquire some difficulty along the way. There might be some conflict along the way. Whenever you present the gospel of Jesus Christ to someone, they may not receive it. And it may be to the point where they not only not receive it, but they may be anti what you're trying to say. They might try to discredit your faith and try to get you to deny the Christ and deny the Word of God. We ran into this whenever we would do street ministry, and we would run into atheists all the time. We ran into warlocks here in Houma. Yes, that exists. Yes, that's real. Just as God's power exists, the powers of the enemy are real as well. And so we ran into such people, and they would try to discredit your faith, try to get you to denounce the things of God, try to get you to question, try to devour, much like a wolf would devour a sheep. Be ready. But here's the thing. We're sheep. We have a shepherd. And right, as long as we're connected to the shepherd, we're safe. Because the shepherd drives away the wolves. Amen? The wolves have no chance against the shepherd. So stay tethered to the shepherd. Stay in communion with the good shepherd. He loves you, and he will protect you, and he will guide you in all of your ways. So whenever you feel like the struggle is real, you need to really tap in to the Holy Spirit and allow him to give you the strength that you need, even when it comes to evangelism. Step 3, have faith and speak out. How many of you guys know it takes faith to get out there and tell someone about Jesus? First of all, you're not going to talk about something that you don't believe in. You know, I'm not going to talk about the Atlanta Falcons because I don't believe in the Atlanta Falcons, right? Amen. I mean, can I get a who dat right there? I mean, come on. If there's any place for a who dat, it was right there. Right. So we don't believe in the Atlanta Falcons. And if there's any Atlanta Falcons in this place, there is salvation for you. You can find it right here at the altar. We will pray with you and just believe God for you. I'm just picking, okay? That's not going to send you to heaven or hell. It might cause some rift between other Saints fans in this place. But nonetheless. And so we see that Jesus, he calls us to have faith. How many guys believe that Jesus is the Son of God? That takes faith. How many guys believe that he came to this earth, he walked this life without sin, he died on the cross, he rose again from the grave, and he is alive and seated at the right hand of God? Amen? That takes faith. Amen? It takes faith to begin to share that message with someone. Because, again, you're not going to share something that you don't believe in. He says in verse 4, carry no money bag. I always chuckle at this one. Carry no money bag. I don't know how many times, you know, people ask, hey, man, you got 50 cents? Hey, man, you got a dollar? Hey, man, you got this, you got that? Well, no, I don't, because Jesus told me to leave my money bag at home, right? So I don't have anything, sorry. But I do, I'll give you what I do have. I mean, I give you the gospel, I give you Jesus. He says, carry no money bag, no knapsack, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, peace be to this house. And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest with him. But if not, it will return to you. So Jesus tells them, look, don't worry about any of your daily provisions. Don't worry about what you're going to eat. Don't worry about what you're going to wear. Don't worry about where you're going to sleep. I will provide everything you need. And man, I have seen this so evident, being a pastor, walking out and stepping out in faith, believing God, and he has met every single need every single time. He is faithful. He is faithful. As you begin to do what the Lord has called you to do, as you begin to share the way the Lord has called you to share, he will provide for you. Amen. You are his child. He loves you with an unconditional love. He says, leave your bread at the house, put away your Nikes, and all these different things. I'm going to provide every single thing that you need. And again, this takes a tremendous amount of faith to step out. Even whenever you don't see, God, how are you going to make a way? It takes faith. It takes stepping out. Amen. So, but the other thing about this is speaking out. You know, it's one thing to have faith, but again, like I said earlier, if I do not open my mouth, then how will they hear, right? If you know, we sometimes as Christians, we just expect the world to get it through osmosis or whatever. You know, because I walked into their room, that they're automatically going to be saved. No, you need to open up your mouth. You know, you need to tell them about Jesus. You need to tell them your testimony. You need to tell them about the goodness of God. You must open your mouth. So he tells them, he says, look, the message that they were to bring was this message of peace. Because how many of you guys know that we all need this message of peace in our life? We need to have peace with God. Because the Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Because of Adam's sin, all were made to be sinners. And because we are all made to be sinners, there's a separation between God and man. And the gospel of peace that they were to go and preach was to bring peace between them and God. This message, this is the heart of God, that every man, that every woman would be reconciled back into a right relationship with him. That is his heart, that every person would come. We know that that's not going to be the case. We know that many will reject him along the way. Many will say, no, I don't want no part of this. But the heart of the Father is that all would come to know him and that they would have peace with God. Now, while a lot has changed over time since the initial launching or the sending of these 70, I believe there's a great value in also staying with one person or staying with one family. I'm not saying you go camp out at their house or you go to their house even. But what I'm saying is that perhaps you stay on that particular person. Perhaps you stay with that particular family that the Lord has called you to work or called you to minister to. And you stay with that person. You stay committed to them. You stay committed to bringing the gospel to them. Maybe it's a neighbor, and every time that you see them, you make sure you have a conversation with them some sort of way. Right? And you look for those opportunities for just to be able to share the good news of the gospel with them. And you stay with that one. Now, the exception was if they did not receive it, then the disciples were allowed to move on. And so you're going to run across people who do not receive the message of the gospel. And you know what Jesus would say to you? Move on. Move on. Move on. Don't waste your time. They're not getting it. You told them. You did your part. Amen? You are released from any further obligation. You've done your part. It's time to move on. Look at it in verse 7. He says, and remain in the same house, eating and drinking what they provide, for the laborer deserves his wages. You know, it's work to bring about the work of the Lord. It's work to teach other people about Jesus. He says, you deserve whatever it is that they give you. He says, whenever you enter a town and they receive you, eat what is set before you, heal the sick in it, and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. Wow. So we were just talking about having faith. This is the level of faith that Jesus is expecting you to have. He says, you heal the sick. Notice he didn't say, I'm going to be there, like, you know, call me up, Wi-Fi, you know, call me up on your cell phone, and I'll be right over there, and I'll go heal the sick. No, what he says, you heal the sick. That is incredible. That is a mind-blowing thing. How can a person, an ordinary person, heal the sick? Is it by their own power? No, but it is by the name of Jesus Christ. I mean, it is by his name and by his authority. Jesus was giving his name, and he was giving them his authority to heal the sick so that, look, this would have been the first time that these people would have heard the name of Jesus. And with hearing his name, they would have seen the miracles accompanied by healing the sick. So that whenever Jesus would come into town, their hearts would be ready to receive all that Jesus had for them. But they were entrusted, the 70 were entrusted to go therefore and heal the sick. Believe God in faith. And I want to challenge you again. I'm just going to throw about 10 challenges at you during the sermon. But because this is a challenging sermon, what if we do this all the time. We always say, brother, I'm going to pray for you. You know, someone tells you, like, you know, they're sick or they're going through something. But yeah, I'll pray for you. And you know you're never going to pray for that person. You know, you forget about it. You're like, life goes on. And, you know, about 2 months later, you see that person again. They're still struggling with the same thing. You're like, oh, I'm going to pray for you. Oh, yeah. Oh, never mind. I'm not even going to say that. Right? And so what if you took that opportunity right then, right there, and said, let's pray right now. Amen? And just believe God right then and right now. And so Jesus is expecting his 70 disciples to walk in this kind of faith, to have this kind of faith in their life. Now, you might say, well, that was for back then. Surely God's not in the business of healing right now. I would say, no, you're completely wrong. Mark 16, 17 through 18 says this, and these signs will accompany those who believe. All right, how many believers do we have in the place today? We got a few, right? We got a good bit of believers. And so the prerequisite to seeing God's power move in your life is believing. He says, those who believe in my name, they shall cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up serpents with their hands. And if they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Amen. So it's not just the pastor who can pray for someone for a prayer of healing. You, if you have Jesus living within you, it is he who saves. It is he who brings about the healing in the first place. Amen? It is his power working through you. Let's look at verse 10. He says, but whenever you enter a town and they do not receive you, go into the streets and say, even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe it off against you. Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near. I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town. So, again, for those who refuse to believe and adhere to the message of the gospel, he says, look, take your sandals off and wipe the dust off of your sandals as a testimony against them. You know the very thing that God told Adam after he sinned? He said, look, from dust you came, and from to dust you will go. In other words, because of your sin, you will return to dust, Adam. Now, we know that one day we will all come to this point in our life, but as believers, we will arise to newness of life with the Lord. But to those who have not received Jesus, to those who reject Jesus as their Savior, as their salvation, they will not rise to be with God. They will rise to be in everlasting torment forever and ever. Verse 17 says, the 70 returned. So this is after Jesus sent them out. Man, they are like pumped up. Watch what happens as they begin to step out in faith. The 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. Demons are subject to you in the name of Jesus. If Jesus is living on the inside of you, there is no demon in hell that can stand up against you. Amen. They are powerless against the name of Jesus. You have that authority to begin to rise up and cast them out. And Jesus was like, this is kind of comical as well, because you know they're so pumped up because they use the name of Jesus and they see demons flee. Watch what Jesus says. He says, and he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. He's like, yeah, Satan was in my presence. I just kicked him out of heaven. You know, that is the power of Jesus. That's an incredible amount of power. 19 says, behold, I have given you the authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. And my fourth point in this, share your experience. It is so encouraging whenever I hear of different ones who have told others about Jesus, and they were receptive, and they are converted to the faith. They're, you know, they leave behind their sinful ways, and they cling to Christ. It is so encouraging, you know, and it kind of stirs us up. You say, well, maybe I should be evangelizing more. Maybe I should be reaching out. And so sharing that, those opportunities that you've had in the outcomes of those things with other people is very encouraging. You know, in fact, there's a scripture in Revelation that talks about the fact that, you know, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. Amen. How many of you guys have a testimony in this place? Right? You were in Moni and it was a testing, but the Lord has brought you out and you have a testimony. All of us, if you are saved in this place, you have a testimony of something that the Lord has done in your life. Now, how might evangelism be a little bit different nowadays in comparison to back then? Now, so let's just think first for a moment. We have, in America, the freedom to assemble. We have the freedom to worship God openly. We have the freedom to proclaim the name of Jesus here in America. In this time, the church was being persecuted, you know, for proclaiming the name of Jesus. They didn't have these same freedoms and opportunities. But we have such a, you know, if anybody should be evangelists, it should be Americans, because we do have the freedom to assemble. We do have the freedom of speech. We do have the freedom to proclaim the name of Jesus. We also have, everyone has access to some translation of the Bible, right? And you can pull out your phone and have the Bible on an app in whatever version of the Bible that you want, right here at your fingertips. You know how they had the Bible back in those days? You had a religious leader, and they would read the scriptures, and you would listen to the religious leaders reading the scriptures. Thank God that we have access to the holy word of God so readily available to us. All we have to do is pick it up. That's one way evangelism has changed, because we have so much access to God's word. And whenever we read God's word, we can see it as history. We can see that God, that Jesus actually died, that he actually rose again from the grave. We can see that he arose and he's at the right hand of God. For these 70 disciples that we read about, perhaps it was a bit of a mystery. What would their life be like following after Jesus? They didn't have the Bible as history. They had it as prophecy. They were living in it real time. And probably one of the biggest changes that we see is that we have something called the internet. We have social media platforms in which you can bring the gospel worldwide. You know, from the United States, you can reach someone in Africa. You can reach someone in South America just by a post or, you know, a video feed or whatever it may be. So we have incredible amount of access. We have incredible amount of freedom. We have incredible amount of opportunity. Now, how might evangelism be the same as it was back in those days? Well, the command to go therefore is still to go therefore. I want to just read that scripture with you real shortly. Matthew 28:19-20 says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Has the end of the age happened yet? No. So therefore, if the gospel was to be preached till the end of the age, he's relying on you. He's relying on me to continue preaching the gospel. We can also say that it's similar in the way that I still see it beneficial to go out two by two. We went out two by two, and I had a buddy of mine, his name was Thomas, and we were always paired up, and we would go two by two, because you never know how their testimony might impact someone differently than your testimony. Or God might give them a word to say, and he might give you a word to say, and both are being impactful in that person's life. I'm thankful whenever we're able to share together as a couple, me and my wife, and able to talk with someone, because she has valuable insight that the Lord has put inside of her, and I have valuable insight that the Holy Spirit has worked in me, and both come together to serve the same purpose in bringing people to Jesus. Amen. And I would say what is similar as well is that the harvest is plentiful. Amen. Look around. The harvest is, I believe there is a hunger even amongst the young people to know Jesus. You see it at the universities. You see hundreds of people at these universities being baptized and coming to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. That's happening now. Auburn University and several other big universities, these young people have a hunger to know God. Amen. And so the harvest is plentiful. There's people who want to know Jesus. But just as in the day of Jesus, the laborers are few, meaning there's very few people willing to go out. There's very few people willing to go therefore. And Jesus says, pray that more will be engaged in this mission of evangelism. Maybe even pray for yourself that you would be engaged in the mission of evangelism. You know what's even more similar is the fact that God still loves people. God loves people back then. God still loves people right now. He provided a way back then. He still provides right now. You know, he has such a heart that they would come to know him as the Lord and Savior. Amen. Another similarity is that just as they risk being persecuted, you risk being persecuted as a believer. I remember one time, this is kind of comical as well. I was out there talking to someone, and all of a sudden, this guy just slugs me. Bah! Just hits me. Like, it was on my shoulder, and I think he was just joking. I think he was joking. But, man, it kind of took me off guard. And that's minor persecution, right? That's nothing, really. You might face persecution. He said he's sending you out as lambs amongst wolves. But just know, you have a shepherd who likes to beat wolves in the head with his big stick. Amen? So, there's still an assignment. We talked about having an assignment and going your way. I believe each and every person in this place that God has an assignment for you. God has that person, that neighbor, that friend, that coworker. He has that assignment for you. I believe, it is still effective to minister to one person, to stay on that one person, stay on that one family. And I also believe there will be many people who will reject what you have to say. But ultimately, God's power is still alive. He is still active. He is still able to heal, and he is still able to deliver. He is still able to set men free from their sins. Amen? So then, how do we evangelize? You know, I'm so proud of, there are so many people who helped out whenever we were doing the feeding here. If you helped out, you came, you helped out, would you just raise your hand right quick? Yeah, we had so many people. And you know what this was? And I'm so proud. I mentioned Courtney and Ashley. Yeah, I'm like seeing young believers. They were engaged. They were talking with people. They were inviting people to church. They were doing their thing. It was just such a beautiful and amazing thing. And in fact, some of the guys from 8 Days of Hope, they came tell me specifically about Courtney and Kim. And they were like, man, they're just so friendly, and they're just, you know, inviting people, and they're just showing people the love of Christ. I'm like, you know what? That's where it's at. You know, that's where it's at. That's evangelism. You know, it doesn't have to be complicated. It doesn't have to be hard. That's evangelism. So how then do we evangelize? I'm reminded also of another story of Ralph. He doesn't know I'm talking about this, but he was in Walmart one day, and it just so happens that he's sitting on a bench, and he's sitting next to Miss Louisa's friend, and then he just asks her, do you know Jesus? Just straight up, hey, do you know Jesus? And she was so enthralled that a young man would just ask her about knowing Jesus, and they had a godly conversation, you know, I guess for about 20 minutes or so. But, you know, just looking for those opportunities each and every day to be the hands and feet of Jesus. So how do we evangelize? I want to get back to praying. Pray that God would give you that divine appointment, all right? That's first step. Step number one, pray that God would give you that divine appointment. Maybe you wake up each and every day and say, God, give me that one person. Give me that one person to share your love with today. You know, there's a guy, So we went to we had football games all this week. We have girls in band and such. And there was this guy, he was sitting like right in front of me. And so I didn't get to really talk to him. But then I seen him again at the gym. So I made it a point to go introduce myself to him because I figured I'm going to be seeing him a lot, you know, with band and everything. Sometimes you have to be intentional about meeting people so that eventually you can sow the seed of the gospel into their lives. Amen. And so I'm praying for that opportunity for this young man to come to know Jesus. I'm praying for my neighbor to come to know Jesus. Amen. I'm praying for those divine appointments. Now, if you are kind of new to this, and this sounds very intimidating, a less intimidating way to evangelize is to invite someone to church. Let us preach to them. I'll preach to them. I'll tell them about Jesus. I'll tell them that they're sinners and that they're going to hell. I'm just picking. You know me. I'm going to share the gospel in love, and the Holy Spirit will convict and all this stuff, right? But here's a way where you can easily invite someone to church. Grab a couple cards. But let me challenge you with this. Whatever cards you grab, you pass out. You know, my wife, she is the pro at this. And if, like, for the longest time, I hated going to any parking lot because I knew what would happen. She always had at least about 100 flyers. And she would just go from windshield to windshield to windshield to windshield and putting that flyer on people's cars. I'm like, oh, Lord, here we go again, you know. And so, you know, for a while, I'm like, I don't know if I really want to go to Walmart with you because I know what's going to take place, right? But she did this so well, so easy. Grab a card, give it to someone, invite them to church, and we will tell them about Jesus. They will experience the love of God. They will experience a service in which God can move upon their hearts. There's even a QR code that tells you all of our social media and everything else. We made it so simple where all you have to do is give this out. Another way, maybe you're like, well, I'm a little bit more advanced than that. Maybe you give out a tract that says, "Who is Jesus?" Maybe you have that someone in your life that has a bunch of questions. You know, they've heard of other religions. They heard of other faiths, and they're looking for answers. And you give them a tract that says, "Who is Jesus?" And they may take it, and they may throw it on the ground. But I read a story as John Piper, and kind of a similar thing happened to him. And so the guy throws it on the ground, but as soon as John Piper left, you know what that guy did? He began to read it. He got saved. His life was forever changed through a tract, through the gospel right here on a little piece of paper. You never know what God can use to get someone's attention. Then one time, like on Wednesday nights, I have leftover Bible studies. I'm like, well, I just throw them in the trash, right? Because I have it on my computer. Well, someone was digging in our trash one time, and they found my Bible study and just ministered to them in such an incredible way. You just never know the little things that you do, how it can impact someone's life. So perhaps that is your way. But maybe you're like, you know what? I feel like the Lord's calling me to even more than that. Share your testimony with them. There is nothing more powerful than you telling them what Jesus has done in your life, how he set you free from that drug addict, from that drug addiction, how he set you free from alcoholism, how he has renewed your mind, how he has given you peace when you had no peace. He has given you true friends when you had no friends. You hang around losers all the time, but he has given you true friends. And you begin to share what Jesus has done in your life. There is nothing more powerful than that. I can speak to them all day long, but they know you. And whenever they see you, they may even say, you know what, you're different. Girl, you're different. Something going on in your life. I'm like, yeah, that's Jesus. It's Jesus. Jesus has done this. Jesus has taken away the hate. Jesus has taken away the anger. Jesus has taken away that addiction. I'm free because of Jesus. Amen? Invite them over for a meal. Everybody loves to eat, especially in the South. And especially if you're a good cook. Now, if you're not a good cook, just order Domino's. That's fine. There's no shame in that. Order Domino's. Invite them to your house. Tell them about Jesus. Amen. Look for those opportunities to turn conversation towards Jesus. While you're in conversation with someone, be praying in your mind, Lord, how can I turn this conversation towards you? How can I lead them towards you? Is it an invite to church? Is it sharing my testimony? Always, always be led by the Holy Spirit. If you ask, He will give you. Amen. He will show you how to minister to each person. Live righteously. This is big too. It's not everything, but it's big. Because if you're proclaiming the name of Jesus, and then, you know, like Monday through Thursday, and then on Friday, you know, your coworker sees you at Bourbon Street partying like a fool, then there's a big disconnect, right? And they're like, well, I don't want anything that you have because you're fake. People are looking for real, so live righteously. You know, set the example. And maybe consider giving a gift, cooking a meal. There's countless ways that we can get involved. You know, another way is I like going to Lowe's. Lowe's is like my favorite store ever. I mean, there's power tools and hand tools and more tools and tools for tools. And I just love Lowe's. And every so often I'll see someone struggling with trying to get either a piece of wood in their vehicle or whatever it may be. And I use that as an opportunity to help them. Hey, can I help you? Now, most men will turn you down and say, no, I got it, you know, because we're men. We have it, right? But every now and then you have this opportunity to be the light of Christ in that situation. Hey, can I help you with your groceries? Can I help you put that in your truck? Can I help you do this? And it may open up a door where you can tell them about the Lord. Amen. There's so many different ways. Be creative. Be creative. Use that creativity that God has given you to impact those around you. And I want to end our segment today with just a couple of questions. What is Jesus worth to you? Is Jesus your treasure? And is He worth sharing with other people? Do you believe that the same Jesus that has impacted your life wants to and is able to impact those around you? Is He your treasure? And is He worth sharing with others? Now, I cannot say this message without saying this last verse. Luke 9:26, He says, for whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him will the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in his glory and the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. He stood there on the cross, beaten, neglected, abused, humiliated, spit upon, mocked for you because he loves you. How dare we be ashamed of him? Amen. Lord, we thank you for this message. We thank you, Lord, for the seriousness of this message. We thank you, Lord, that you are God of grace. And Lord, there have been times where I have blown it. There have been times where I've missed divine appointments. There have been times when I cowered away. God, I pray that you forgive us, each of us. And I pray that you would give us boldness. Help us, Lord, to be better, Lord, in this area. Help in this area of evangelism. Help us, Lord, to remind ourselves of the Great Commission, to go, therefore, to tell others about you. Lord, for we know that the time is drawing near when you shall return. And, Lord, we want as many people as we know to be joined with you when you come back in those clouds. So, Lord, give us boldness for those who struggle with just not having the words to say. God, would you just enable them by the power of your Holy Spirit just to be a witness, oh, Lord. And so, Lord, I pray for each and every person, Lord, that we would all have our assignment, that we would all have our way that you have assigned to us. And Lord, that we would be obedient towards that. We pray for those divine appointments. Maybe even now there's someone on your mind right now. I would challenge you, let's say a prayer for that person right now. Pray for that person. Pray for that person. Pray that God will give you an opportunity to share the gospel with that person. Pray that their hearts would be softened, that the hardness of their hearts, the callousness of their hearts would go away, and that the Lord would do his perfect work in their life. Pray that right now. Lord, we pray for them, Lord. We lift them up to you. God, we pray also, Lord, that we would always be burdened for the lost. God, we just thank you for your word. And we just want to give you all the praise and give you all the glory, oh God. In Jesus' mighty name, and let God's people say, amen.